a conversation with President Salvador Allende of Chile. I'm Rich Adams in Washington, and with me is the diplomatic correspondent for the Hearst newspapers, John Wallach, who has just returned from a trip to Santiago, Chile, where he interviewed President Allende. Allende is the first Marxist leader of any nation in the Western Hemisphere to have been chosen in free and open elections. In fact, democracy in Chile has a long tradition, one that many Chileans today feel is endangered by Allende's avowed aim of turning Chile into a traditional socialist state. Because there is freedom of speech and freedom of the press, Chileans have not been afraid to express themselves, but not always in support of Allende and not always peacefully. Beginning with the march 2 years ago of 50,000 middle-class housewives banging empty pots and pans over their heads, there have been so many protest demonstrations and riots that the casual visitor to Santiago might conclude a civil war was about to break out. The tension is due partly to the fact that Allende himself was elected as a minority president, with only 36% of the vote in a three-man race. He heads a coalition known as the Popular Unity, made up of socialists, communists, and extreme left-wing splinter groups. The opposition Christian Democrat and right-wing national parties control the legislature. They had hoped before last March's congressional elections to win two-thirds of both houses of Congress so they could impeach Allende. They failed. The March elections, which were the first real test of Allende's popularity, resulted in a net gain of 7 seats for the government coalition. But they also proved Allende had been successful in at least one aspect of turning Chile into a socialist state, that of developing a political consciousness among the workers that was as good as gold at the ballot box. In those March elections, the Popular Unity increased its margin from the 36% Allende received in 1970 to 43.7%. Some observers believe this has brought Chile even closer to civil war because the opposition has become desperate. A 2-month-old strike at Chile's largest copper plant, El Teniente, has already forced cancellation of copper exports, Chile's most reliable source of foreign exchange. The disruption of the social fabric, whether intentional or not, has set peasant against worker, worker against his employer, and class against class. Allende has been charged with attempting the constitutional extinction of the middle class. They believe their freedom is being subverted by Allende's campaign to destroy their economic base. Chile has the highest rate of inflation in the world, 200%, and the resulting black market and almost total disappearance of consumer goods has set the economy into a tailspin. John, against this background, to what extent is the United States responsible for Chile's troubles?
Well, the United States certainly hasn't helped. After Allende expropriated the three major American copper companies, the United States took several steps, expropriated them without, of course, paying any compensation. The United States cut off all economic aid, it stopped export-import bank loans, and it made it virtually impossible for Chile to get financing to buy such things as Boeing jets, for example, to replace the aging fleet of Boeings already in operation. Chile's defaulting on its debt obligations to many nations in the world made it impossible for Allende to get credit from international lending institutions such as the World Bank. Then when you throw into this already steaming cauldron the discovery that ITT had tried to bribe the CIA into blocking Allende's election, political dynamite in Chile, particularly for Allende, it's not hard to see how relations between the United States and Chile went steadily downhill for the past 3 years. Now, in a sense, we've reached a turning point. President Nixon has said repeatedly for the last year that the United States wants to have the kind of relationship with Chile that Chile wants to have with us. Allende has, in a sense, turned that on its ear, asking point blank, what kind of relationship does the United States want? Copper is the sore point, and it's the wrong point for the United States to have strained its relationships with Chile, because the Chilean population is almost entirely united on this one point. Regardless of whether they support Allende or are opposed to Allende, they support his moves to expropriate copper, which is Chile's major export earner and most important natural resource. Allende, of course, contends that the copper companies took so much in profits out of Chile over the past 10 or 15 years that he doesn't owe them any compensation and that he had an absolute right to seize and expropriate their assets. As I said, we may have reached a turning point. The turning point may have been brought about by the a fact that in the March elections, Allende's coalition won 43% of the votes. This has, in a sense, forced the United States to take a new hard look at socialism in Chile, perhaps for the first time accepting socialism in Chile as a permanent thing. For the past 3 years, it's been my impression that the State Department, the White House, had hoped that one thing or another might lead to Allende's overthrow. The American government denies it, but we've been giving, for example, $12 million in military aid consistently over the last 3 years to the Chilean armed forces. The White House denies that this is in order to keep our links with the armed forces in hopes that they might overthrow the Allende government, but in fact that seems a possibility. Now, since the March elections in which the coalition won 43%, it appears that the administration is taking a new look at Chile. Secretary Rogers met in Buenos Aires with Salvador Allende for the first time, Rogers becoming the highest Nixon administration official to have met Allende. I asked President Allende when I was in Santiago what was necessary to restore an atmosphere of trust to U.S.-Chilean relations.
Desde luego,
first of all,
yo creo también que es necesario.
I believe it is necessary
eliminar todos aquellos factores
to eliminate all artificial factors
que hacen más difíciles relaciones normales.
That make normal relations more difficult.
Chile, indiscutiblemente,
Chile,
tiene
of course,
de vista
has points of view that are different from those of the United States government.
Pero nadie puede decir
but nobody can say that our relationship has deteriorated to the point where it is impossible to have a dialogue or to the point where the dialogue has to be interrupted.
Por otra parte, pienso,
on the other hand,
que Estados Unidos,
I think that the United States
debe escuchar,
should listen more.
No solo lo que ha dicho Chile.
Not only to what Chile has to say, but to what other Latin American countries have to say, and to what other non-aligned nations have said and continue to say.
Por ejemplo, los ministros de Relaciones
For example, the foreign ministers of Latin America,
cuya organización se llama SECLA,
through their organization known as SECLA,
hace más de dos años y medio,
more than 2.5 years ago, let Mr. Nixon know those American policies with which we disagreed.
Que no son comunes a nosotros.
And do you know, there has still been no response from Mr. Nixon to these points.
Por otra parte, en el caso mismo de los países latinoamericanos,
in the case of the Latin American countries themselves,
el fracaso no negado de la Alianza para el
the defeat of the Alliance for Progress
debe dejarle
should also teach the United States something.
A ello hay que agregar
that was an experience for the United States that it should not forget.
Al cumplir 25 años de CEPAL. Y también lo que han dicho los técnicos de alto nivel.
Even at the highest level, and I mean the White House, you have to listen to what was said at the UNDP conference and at the third UNCTAD, United Nations Conference on Trade and Development.
This is probably the most important result of Secretary Rogers' trip to Latin America. The effect on him, I'm sure, is much greater than the effect on any of the countries that he visited.
I think he's a man of real sensitivity, a statesman with a great deal of experience, because he has been able to recognize facts. The important thing to remember is that there must be an awareness that there is a very intimate link between the interests of multinational corporations and the policies which the Department of State follows. Because of this, we run the risk of creating anti-American reactions in Chile.
No es conveniente.
And this, of course, is not good.
Right.
Such charges,
cierto punto injusto,
of course, are not entirely justified. Because even within the United States, there are millions of people who share our point of view, who recognize our right to live, who are not about to defend either with arms
or political power
the interests of the huge multinational corporations.
Haven't you abetted the anti-American feeling in Chile by linking the ITT interference in Chilean politics with the CIA and the American government? You seem to have made this link rather directly. Do you believe, in fact, there is or was a CIA-ITT fray conspiracy?
In the first place, I want to separate out. I don't want to discuss any of the charges against ex-president Eduardo Frei.
Y por eso, en mi discurso,
for this reason, in my speech to the International Labor Conference,
no hice referencia,
I did not make reference to the Washington Post.
No. Por lo tanto, quiero que quede esto muy en claro.
I want this to be very clear.
Jamás.
I never,
muy respetable que sea un diario,
no matter how respectable a newspaper
or
a journalist may be,
yo podría hacerme eco de sus palabras sin tener la
evidencia, I could never echo his words without having
proof,
without this journalist providing the absolute proof of his allegations.
Porque a mí no me gustaría que otra gente,
I wouldn't like it if other politicians in this country or some other country believed what some journalists say about me.
Bien.
What you set forth is quite accurate.
Por primera vez en la conferencia sindical,
for the first time at the labor conference,
yo me referí a las relaciones,
I referred to the relationship
entre la ITT y la CIA,
between ITT and the CIA and some men in the State Department.
Pero me referí,
but I referred to them
las declaraciones
by
de los
using the declarations of the witnesses before the Senate Subcommittee.
Yo no he tejido la trama.
I haven't woven a network or conspiracy.
Yo no he tejido la red.
I haven't
charged
anyone with anything that has not happened.
Ha dicho esto.
I have only said Mr. So-and-so said this, Mr. So-and-so said something else. You come to your own conclusions.
Saquen las conclusiones ustedes. Yo no he querido sacar conclusiones.
I haven't wanted to reach any conclusions.
Me he limitado al testimonio.
I have limited myself to the testimony of people who have sworn under oath.
En Estados Unidos,
in the United States, I understand,
muy serias sanciones,
there are very serious sanctions against perjury.
Por lo tanto,
therefore,
será a la subcomisión,
it will be up to the Senate Subcommittee
sacar las conclusiones,
to reach its own conclusions.
Pero yo creo que pocas veces,
but I believe that very rarely have there been facts
que han sacudido más la opinión
that have more fully shaken domestic opinion in the United States.
Tanto por Watergate,
whether it is Watergate
como las investigaciones
or the ITT investigations.
¿Para qué le voy a agregar yo calificativos o adjetivos?
Why should I add any more adjectives to this when for months millions
de palabras al día
of words have been written?
Cuando la televisión está transmitiendo
when
las sesiones,
television airwaves are transmitting live sessions, and when there already
the,
is a complete awareness
Watergate,
of what is going on.
You have said that Watergate proves the that multinational corporations are international culprits, and that this proves the beginning of the end of the capitalist system.
In the first place, I never said that they were culprits. I never used that word. I never used words like that.
el comienzo del fin del sistema capitalista Watergate.
I don't think it is the beginning of the end of the capitalist system.
Yo creo que es un escándalo
mayúsculo. I think Watergate is a huge scandal which has
que ha tenido gran repercusión.
Wide repercussions.
Y sobre el cual nosotros tenemos una información
about which we have gathered information
emanada de las investigaciones hechas en Estados Unidos.
Which has come from the investigations carried out in the United States.
Ahora, algo muy serio debe haber ocurrido.
Now, obviously, something very serious happened.
Tanta gente ha renunciado,
when so many people have been forced to resign.
Tanta reacción se ha producido,
when there has been so much reaction.
Cuando ha sido tan fuerte la reacción.
When
the
reaction has been so strong that the political foundations of the government are still being rocked.
Pero yo no he usado ningún calificativo.
But I haven't used any unfair adjectives.
Esa es la impresión que se forma cualquier persona que lee, nomás.
And that is the impression of any fair-minded observer.
It's quite possible, I think, that because of the effect that Watergate has had on American leaders, they will listen more deeply and more seriously to some of the movements that are existing in the rest of the world, such as the one here in Chile, of which they have been ignorant.
Espero que así sea.
I hope that this will be the case.
Y sería lo lógico, sería lo justo.
It would be most logical.
There was a break-in at the Chilean embassy the same month that the group broke into the Watergate. Three of the Cuban exiles were in Washington at the same time of the Chilean break-in. The Chilean embassy in Washington has been unsuccessful in its requests to get fingerprints of the people who broke into the embassy so that a comparison could be made with the fingerprints of the group that broke into the Watergate. Do you have any information yourself that would indicate that these may have been the same people?
Sí. Efectivamente,
yes,
eso se ha dicho.
This has been said.
Inclusive, parece que alguna persona ha afirmado categóricamente.
It also appears that some people have categorically affirmed this.
Sin embargo, nosotros no hemos querido hacer ninguna declaración pública.
To make any kind of public declaration.
Y mucho menos explotar políticamente.
And much less exploit this politically.
Es demasiado grave.
It's far too serious.
Porque sería tener que afirmar que se han barrenado todos los conceptos y las normas internacionales
that all concepts of international behavior
en cuanto al respeto
as far as
que se tiene que tener
respect for embassies and foreign emissaries had been swept aside
con las representaciones de los países. Es un hecho de una proyección.
It would be an event of such huge international magnitude.
Por lo que en ello en sí mismo implica.
Because of what it implies.
Hacer una
that to make a statement or
tocar las campanas,
ring the bells of denunciation
sin tenerlos,
without
sin tener
having
la evidencia,
proof.
Es inconveniente.
Would not be right.
Porque es demasiado grave.
It's far too serious.
But you have suspicions that it may have been the same people.
Usted sospecha que podría haber sido la misma gente.
A juzgar por lo que se ha firmado.
Judging from what has been seen, it is possible.
The United States says it has been searching for ways to end the 3-year impasse in relations with Chile. One of the possible avenues for reconciliation is a 1914 treaty that provides for a special 3-man commission to adjudicate bilateral problems. But the treaty specifically exempts questions of national sovereignty, giving Chile a way out if it doesn't want the copper dispute to be settled by outsiders. The copper companies themselves have indicated they would accept international arbitration, but Chile, despite its avowed respect for international law, has never been willing to submit the dispute to arbitration. Even the special copper court set up by Allende himself and composed of 3 independent judges has been unwilling to tackle this explosive question. Most observers believe the court is simply afraid of the political repercussions of a decision that would be favorable to the American companies. I asked Allende about Chile's history of refusing to be bound by international arbitration.
Chile
has a very long history of respect for treaties.
Y cuando ha habido puntos discrepantes,
when there have been opposing points of view, then we have looked to treaties and to international arbitration to find a road to solution. This is what happened with Argentina. We submitted our dispute
de la corona británica
with the British Crown
en el problema del Beagle.
Over Beagle Channel to arbitration.
Así que su aseveración no es justa.
So what you say isn't really fair. On the contrary, we are very much in favor of respect for treaties and international commitments.
Si hay un compromiso, un convenio,
if there is a commitment,
establecido entre Chile y Estados Unidos,
an agreement between Chile and the United States
del año 14,
dating back to 1914,
cuando no se preveía que podía haber dificultades,
when it could not be foreseen that we would have problems,
cuando se presentan las dificultades,
we will ask
nosotros pedimos que se use ese instrumento.
For this instrument to be used.
I wasn't talking
about... ¿Puede dar resultado o no puede dar resultado? Eso no se puede asegurar
antes de emplearlo.
I cannot
guarantee that the tribunal will take the case.
Es decir, nosotros no vamos ahí porque no va a dar resultado. Es prejuzgar.
That would be prejudging and puts me in an unfair position.
No es una posición de acuerdo con las obligaciones que emanan
of the disagreement over the competence of the tribunal.
Submit these disputes to the judgment of an international tribunal and to be bound by the decision of this tribunal. Because the treaty excludes this such international commitments in questions of sovereignty. Would Chile be willing, if this is acceptable as a framework,
si esto es aceptable,
to accept the decision
a aceptar la decisión
of such an international court on the questions that are separating?
Sobre las cuestiones que separan.
Pero lo primero que hay que ver,
the first thing we have to find out
es, si se recurre o no se recurre,
is whether we resort to this special tribunal.
Y segundo, ¿qué cosas se le van a plantear? Hay que tomar en cuenta que no es un tribunal que pueda resolver.
We must take into consideration that it isn't a tribunal that can resolve anything. It doesn't have the power to enforce its decisions. But it can suggest, it can indicate the road towards solution.
Si uno recurre a un tribunal,
if one resorts to a tribunal and then consults it periodically, undoubtedly
que tiene un compromiso moral,
one has a moral obligation.
¿Verdad?
Isn't that so?
Y ese compromiso moral,
that moral commitment,
es un paso importante,
is a very important step.
Ahora, nosotros no tenemos por qué,
we have no reason now,
anticipar,
to anticipate
una opinión sobre lo que el tribunal pudiera decir.
What the tribunal eventually will decide.
Nosotros recurrimos a él,
we are willing
to
submit our case, and the tribunal
el será el que juzgue,
will judge
si está dentro de sus atribuciones,
whether it is within its
considerar o no,
to make a decision.
Aspectos.
But when we talked the last time about copper, 1 year ago, you talked about the possibility of a special tribunal in Chile being able to resolve this question. A special court in the copper tribunal in Chile. This court, apparently for political reasons, has been afraid to take this case.
¿Por qué dice por razones políticas?
But why? Why, for political reasons?
I don't understand otherwise why so much time has passed since we talked the previous time without the case
having gone to the...
No, he's mistaken.
Y un periodista de su capacidad.
And a journalist of his ability
yo creo que su
and ethics cannot make these remarks.
No puede hacer las aseveraciones que ha hecho. El tribunal no ha resuelto políticamente.
The tribunal has not failed to resolve anything
conforme a derecho.
Because of political intimidation, the tribunal has acted in accordance
emitió un fallo
with Chilean
law. Un fallo que es parcialmente favorable.
It rendered a verdict that was partly favorable to Cero
en contra de algunos aspectos que había planteado
and against some arguments made by the government.
Y por eso que vamos a llegar a un acuerdo con Cero.
That is why we are going to pay compensation.
Y vamos a pagar una indemnización. Porque entonces no tiene base la aseveración que ha hecho.
Therefore, your charge isn't really fair.
Y les ruego que no la repita.
And I would ask
dentro,
you not to repeat it in or out of Chile,
when
because
we
it
talked
isn't
a
true.
Year ago, you acknowledged it was difficult, perhaps more difficult than you expected, to convert the entrenched middle classes to socialism. You said that some people were becoming desperate. How do you feel now about the last 3 years and about the future?
In the first place, I want to insist that Chile is not a socialist country.
Este es un país capitalista.
This is a capitalist country.
Y mi gobierno no es un gobierno socialista.
And my government is not a socialist government.
Ni mucho menos, como dice interesadamente la prensa,
neither,
un gobierno marxista.
As the press likes to say, is it a Marxist government.
Yo soy marxista.
I am a Marxist.
Esa es otra cosa.
That's something else.
Pero el gobierno está formado
but the government is made up
por
of
marxistas,
Marxists,
por laicos,
laymen,
y por cristianos.
And Christians.
Yo he sido 4 años vicepresidente del Senado.
For 4 years I was vice president of the Senate.
Y nadie va a decir que el Senado era marxista.
And nobody can charge that the Senate was Marxist.
Fui 2 años y medio presidente.
For 2.5 years I was president of the Senate.
Yo fui 3 años y medio ministro de Salud Pública y era
for
marxista.
For 3.5 years I was minister of public health. And I was a Marxist.
Sido presidente del colegio médico, siendo también
I have
marxista,
been president
yo.
Of the medical school and I also was
nadie
a Marxist.
Iba a decir que el colegio médico era marxista.
Nobody
fui
can,
5 años.
Nobody can say that the medical school is Marxist.
Entonces, esto forma parte
this forms part
esto de una propaganda.
A propaganda campaign.
Porque para mucha gente
because for many
decir
people
que una persona,
to say that a person
un partido,
a party
un grupo de gente
or a group is Marxist
es suponerle
is to blame
toda la capacidad de delincuencia del mundo.
For all the evils in the world.
Este es un gobierno
this
popular,
is a popular, democratic,
national,
national revolutionary government.
Anti-imperialist. Yeah. Y usted lo ha probado.
And
lo
you're
ha
able
comprobado.
To prove it.
Aquí hay una auténtica democracia.
There is a genuine
sí
democracy
no.
Here, yes or no.
Aquí hay una libertad increíble.
There is incredible
sobre todo
freedom
de prensa,
here.
Información.
Particularly freedom of the press.
Yo creo que no hay país
and freedom of speech. I don't think there is any other country in the world where the President of the Republic
a los políticos del gobierno
submits himself
se le digan las cosas que aquí se dicen.
To the kind of verbal and written assaults that take place here.
What he says is true. Chile is a model democracy. A popular saying in Santiago is that Chileans love politics the way other Latin Americans love football, soccer to us. That's why it is so easy to mistake headlines in local papers that declare the imminent outbreak of civil war for the real thing. But the opposition believes Allende is hell-bent on destroying its economic base, that the preservation of democracy is only a facade to ensure their cooperation in their own economic ruin. The leader of the opposition press is the newspaper Mercurio, one of the best in Latin America. It is a favorite target of Allende, occupying sort of the same position in Chile that the Washington Post occupies vis-a-vis the Nixon administration. It is a favorite target of Allende's because the publisher is an American, a wealthy American by the name of Edwards, who fled to Connecticut when Allende came into power. Edwards also owns Santiago's largest bank, the Banco Edwards, which went broke after borrowing lines of credit from a consortium of 9 American banks and failing to register the subsequent loan to a Chilean corporation with the government central bank. That made it impossible for the participating American banks to reclaim their money when the Chilean corporation went broke. I asked Allende about this.
The opposition press complains that you have been trying to destroy their economic base and that papers like Mercurio are having a difficult time continuing.
Because Mercurio?
Mercurio?
Mercurio, ¿qué dificultades puede tener el Mercurio?
What difficulties can Mercurio have?
Cuando aquí hay un poder judicial autónomo.
When there are plenty of lawyers and an independent judiciary to appeal to.
Que forma parte de
Mercurio
un imperio,
forms part of an empire,
industrial, periodístico,
an industrial, commercial, and press empire,
cuyo gran capo,
whose great leader
Chile,
has fled Chile,
está arrancado de Chile, vive en Estados Unidos,
and now lives in the United States.
Y era presidente del banco que
he
llevaba
was
el nombre
president
de su familia,
of the bank that carried his family name.
Que estafó en 7 millones
he
de dólares.
Swindled $7 million. From 9 American banks.
Lo increíble,
the incredible part
es que Estados Unidos no se hayan creído
is that in the United States,
lo que prueba que el capitalismo se protege.
He has not been brought to justice by these banks. That proves that capitalism protects itself.
Han sido tan claras las cosas del Banco Edward, y entonces usted encuentra algo increíble.
So here you come up against something absolutely unbelievable. The newspaper, which belongs to an international outlaw,
no, que ha estafado bancos americanos,
who has swindled American banks,
da clases de moral, de democracia,
gives lessons
de libertad,
on freedom, democracy, and morals.
Y ahora se dedica a defender,
and now he devotes himself to defend the rights of the workers.
Desde que nació,
from the time he was born
hasta que nosotros llegamos al gobierno,
until we came into power,
para él la clase obrera, para ese diario,
the working class only existed,
solo existía para estigmatizarla,
for him
para golpearla,
to slur and defame,
para criticarle subversivo,
and ridicule as subversive.
The progress that has been made in Chile, extending health care, education, and food to people who never had it before,
nutrición,
is very remarkable.
Cuidado sanitario a gente que nunca lo ha tenido antes es realmente notable.
And to some extent, this has come at the sacrifice of the middle classes in Chile.
Ha sido por intermedio del sacrificio de las clases.
For example, you have been charged with provoking class warfare in Chile.
De provocar una guerra entre las clases en Chile.
¿Por qué la voy a provocar yo?
Class warfare. Why should I provoke this?
Desde luego había habido una guerra.
Of course, there has been warfare.
Si nos atenemos a sus palabras.
If we stick to your words.
Porque los que no tenían alimento,
those who had
los que
no,
no
food,
tenían casa, los que no tenían derecho a la educación,
no
a la salud, a la cultura
over their heads,
y al descanso,
or the right to education, to health, or to culture.
Era una gente no solo derrotada.
These are the people who were completely squashed.
Ahora, sociológicamente.
Now, sociologically speaking.
Usted me quiere preguntar.
If you want to ask me.
Categóricamente, si esa es o no es una lucha de clases.
Whether what is happening is or is not class warfare.
Tengo que decirle que sí, ¿no?
Then I would have to say yes.
Si yo lo interpreto.
I interpret this.
A la luz del método que
by
yo tengo.
The method.
Para analizar la historia.
I used to analyze history.
Es una lucha de clases.
It is class warfare.
Evidentemente.
Obviously.
Pero en nuestro país,
but in our country,
hasta este instante,
what we have achieved,
los logros alcanzados por la clase obrera,
through the efforts of the working classes,
no se han hecho,
has not been achieved until now,
a expensa de grandes sacrificios,
at the expense of enormous sacrifices,
de la mediana o pequeña burguesía,
by the small or middle class bourgeoisie.
Los profesionales siguen viviendo bastante bien,
doctors, lawyers, businessmen,
bastante bien,
continue to living pretty well, pretty well, I say.
Sus, sus conquistas económicas.
Their organizations have defended their economic conquests.
Ninguna de ellas ha sido, como se llama, desconocida.
None of them have gone hungry. The problem is
que para mucha gente de la clase media,
that many people in the middle class,
fundamentalmente los profesionales,
most of all the professionals,
no, hay una concepción errada,
either are ignorant of,
por ignorancia, o sencillamente por su ubicación política,
or just don't want to find out what socialism really is.
Bueno, yo por ejemplo, no, luché mucho más con los médicos.
I struggled harder with the doctors.
Hace 20 años.
20 years ago.
Cuando yo presenté el proyecto de ley.
When I introduced draft legislation.
Para crear el servicio único de salud.
To create socialized medicine.
Porque muchos médicos decían.
And a national health service.
Que se le iba a quitar clientela.
The doctors charged they were going to have fewer patients.
Que el ejercicio liberal de la
profesión. That spreading healthcare free of charge would ruin us.
Que iban a tener un solo patrón.
That they would all become subservient to one boss in the health service.
Y hubo que vencer fuertes resistencias.
We had to overcome tremendous resistance.
Y apelar a la conciencia de los profesionales.
And appeal to the conscience of the doctors.
Que mucha gente no puede comprar la salud.
You know, today many people still cannot afford to buy decent health in Chile. It's a vicious circle.
Y mayor enfermedad, mayor pobreza.
The today, for example, there is a strike,
the more sickness there will be, and the more sickness there is, the more poverty.
Which is going into its 40th day. These are workers who, presumably, the government should have been able to reach with its message. How does socialism resolve the contradiction or the conflict of workers who are striking for more money?
Ese es un problema muy serio.
This is a very serious problem.
Porque durante más de 100 años,
because for more than 100 years,
han tenido solo una postura economicista.
The workers only have been exploited economically.
Ha existido solamente
for them,
la lucha por tener más dinero.
Only been the struggle to have more money.
Y es difícil.
And it is difficult
que algunos entiendan
for some of them to understand
que hay otros valores.
That there are other values.
Que además es injusto.
And also that it is unfair
grupos de trabajadores
that there should be groups
que tengan
of workers
privilegiadas
who have privileged positions
por trabajar en industrias
because they work in industries
estratégicas
that are strategic
o de gran peso económico
or carry the brunt of the nation's economic weight. Under these circumstances
es fácil
it is easy
que se creen conflictos
for conflicts to arise
sobre todo si un sector de esos trabajadores
particularly if a group of workers
políticamente
belong to the opposition
pertenece a los partidos
and decide
de oposición,
to exploit
que hacen
their position politically.
Entonces, en determinadas circunstancias, la solución
then even if
se obstaculiza
a solution is at hand
por la pasión política. Y eso es lo que ocurre en Atenas. Hoy día en la mañana, por ejemplo,
it won't be accepted because they're aims are not economic, but political. This morning at 3 o'clock,
Molotov.
They used bombs, Molotov cocktails,
a un negocio,
which they threw at a store
que debe ser unos mejores de Rancagua,
that used to be one of the best in Rancagua.
Porque es una sucursal de un establecimiento muy grande que hay aquí.
This is a very large firm.
Son socialistas. La firma es Scapini.
The firm is called Scapini.
No. Cuando vaya al centro, cómprese un buen traje en Scapini.
When you go into town, buy yourself a good suit there. And cheap too.
Claro. Bueno. Los tomaron preso.
They caught the saboteurs.
Y han confesado.
And they confessed
qué partido son.
Which party they belong to.
Entonces eso está comprobando lo que nosotros hemos sostenido.
This proves what we have been saying.
Que aquí hay un problema
this
político
is a political
de fondo
issue.
De fondo como fue político el paro
strike.
It's economic sabotage, and not merely a workers' strike for more money. They're using a new strategy. It is aimed directly at fomenting trouble among peasants, between peasants and workers, and between workers
and their employers. But those difficulties already exist with some of the seizures of the farms that have taken place, some of the violence that has already occurred. But are you not concerned about the great increase in tension? Where is this leading?
Yo he dicho que trataré por todos los medios de impedir la guerra civil. Y cuando estábamos en el paro,
there would be,
el año de octubre, yo siempre dije que habría elecciones.
I always said there would be elections.
Y lo que dije se cumplió.
And what I have pledged has been carried out.
Ahora, yo repito lo que siempre
digo. Now I repeat what I have always said.
Hay gente que quiere arrastrarnos a la guerra civil.
There are people who want to drag us towards civil war.
Yo haré lo posible y lo imposible.
I will do everything possible and impossible
para impedirlo.
To avoid this.
Si lo puedo impedir, eso lo veremos.
Only the future will tell whether I will succeed.
Yo haré todo lo que esté de mi parte.
But I will do everything I can to avoid it.
100 veces. Seguramente nosotros ganaríamos.
I am sure we would probably win.
Pero ese no es el problema.
But that isn't the problem.
El problema es que es el país.
The problem is the country.
El que sería perjudicado.
The country would be destroyed.
Su economía.
Its economy would be ruined.
Por muchos y muchos años.
For many, many years.
Y lo que es peor, sería perjudicado en las relaciones humanas.
It would destroy the entire social fabric.
Estallarían las pasiones aún dentro de la
familia. Passions in every family would be set on fire.
Habría padres con nosotros,
There would be fathers on one side and sons against us.
O hijos con nosotros.
Or sons with us.
Y padres en contra nuestro.
And their fathers against us.
Y entonces es peor todavía eso.
Even worse.
Y eso es lo que yo honestamente.
And this is something I honestly say we have to avoid.
Digo que hay que evitar. Además, gracias. Hay que tomar en cuenta que si triunfara un golpe en Chile,
a revolt
or
civil war were successful in Chile, we would end up with a despotic government,
una dictadura implacable, fascista,
a fascist dictatorship.
¿Por qué? Porque aquí ya hay una conciencia.
Because there already is an awareness, a political consciousness here, particularly among the workers.
Tendrían que suceder hechos de sangre,
and there would have to be bloodshed,
y de violencia tremenda,
and violence
para aplastar a los trabajadores.
To keep them down.
Allende has emerged as something of a folk hero in Latin America. Some people in Santiago will tell you that one reason Allende travels abroad so much is because he is more popular in other parts of the world than he is at home. If only they knew what we had to put up with, a popular opposition refrain goes. But Allende's popularity outside Chile is very real and growing, almost in proportion to the increase in tension inside Chile. Allende was mobbed by thousands of wildly cheering teenagers in Buenos Aires when he recently attended the inauguration of Argentina's new Peronist leader, Hector Campora. But his popularity abroad is also due to Allende's refreshing style of leadership. In Buenos Aires, instead of attending an official dinner, he went to several local student hangouts and tango clubs where he danced and talked politics until 4 o'clock in the morning. Hardly surprising, Allende has become a good friend of another leader with a somewhat similar lifestyle, Cuban Premier Fidel Castro. Although neither man makes a secret of his disagreement with the other's road toward socialism, they have genuinely learned from each other. Chile has patterned some of its health and education reforms after the successful Cuban models. Castro even was reported to have advised Allende recently not to freeze up the flow of dollars into Chile by totally alienating the United States. Allende, for his part, believes Cuba would be prepared, under certain circumstances, to end its hostility towards the United States.
I would like to ask one question about Cuba. The United States has maintained two demands the end of the export of revolution to Latin America and the break in military relations with the Soviet Union. If the United States dropped these demands, do you believe Cuba would be receptive to a move to improve relations?
I think so. First of all, you have to finish the Vietnam War. Because Cuba has always maintained that it had no interest in improving relations as long as the United States was being aggressive in Vietnam. The other demands, particularly that Cuba stop exporting revolution, you know perfectly well that Cubans will not accept. Cuba isn't exporting revolution.
Cuba no está exportando la revolución.
The proof is that Cuba very clearly emphasizes.
Está aquí. Cuba destaca muy claramente.
Very clearly emphasizes.
Que el camino de Chile es el camino
that the
que.
Road to Chile
de acuerdo con la realidad chilena.
Towards socialism is a Chilean idea.
Y lo presta que Cuba tiene muy buenas relaciones con el gobierno del Perú.
Cuba also has very good relations with the government of
Peru,
which has a completely different political orientation
popular,
from Chile and Cuba. Also, Argentina this week resumed diplomatic relations with Cuba. Like Chile and Peru, it's a nationalistic government, which is doing its best to obtain its economic independence.
De acuerdo a sus principios.
This is a Cuban problem. The Cubans act in accordance with their own principles,
a su firme posición doctrinaria,
their firm doctrinaire position,
y a su concepción de solidaridad,
their concept of solidarity
de lo, con los pueblos,
with other countries
que luchan por su independencia.
And there was peoples who fight for their independence.
There was a major turning point in Chile with the recent elections in which the Unidad Popular increased its strength to 43%. The opposition has become very disillusioned because they were predicting victory. Is the disillusionment of the opposition more dangerous, perhaps, than their own belief in their ability to defeat you through peaceful means?
Evidente que sí. ¿Por qué? Primero quisieron derrocarnos.
First of all,
con el paro.
They wanted to defeat us.
Y después pensaron.
By staging hundreds of strikes throughout the country.
Tal como usted lo dice en las elecciones.
Then they would be successful, as you said in the March elections.
Y partieron con la esperanza de sacar dos tercios.
Their goal was to win 2/3 of the seats in the House and Senate so that they could impeach me. I told them they were crazy.
El autocomandante nos vamos a ir luego. Los autos.
Then they predicted that we, the popular unity,
y después pensaron que íbamos a sacar menos votos que los que saqué yo como candidato.
Than I myself got.
Yo dije que no.
As a presidential candidate in 1970,
dije que íbamos a sacar mucho más.
I said no, I predicted we were going to get many more votes than I got in 1970, and the fact
entonces,
that
algunos
right.
Falsos demócratas,
now listen to these phony Democrats
que hablaban tanto de democracia,
who hailed the virtues of democracy.
Ahora no confían en los propios resortes democráticos.
They have no confidence in the measures of democracy itself.
Y tienen temor al 76.
And they are afraid of 1976.
Y dicen que si consolida el gobierno,
they say if the government survives until then,
no, llega hasta esa fecha, el gobierno va a ganar las elecciones.
The popular unity
entonces,
will win the election.
¿Qué clase de demócratas son?
What kind of Democrats are they?
Nosotros, yo he dicho siempre que mientras sea presidente,
I have always said that as long as I am president,
aquí jugará la expresión libre del pueblo.
There will be freedom of speech.
Y habrá elecciones.
And there will be elections.
Y ha habido seis elecciones.
There have been six elections.
Y no ha habido ni un solo reclamo.
And none of them has been contested.
En estas últimas elecciones.
After our last elections.
En la tarde y en la noche, el día 4 de marzo.
During the afternoon and evening of March 4th.
Dijeron que que habíamos hecho una estafa.
They charged that
que habíamos
we were
robado
swindlers,
miles y miles de votos.
That we had stolen thousands and thousands
que era un escándalo.
In a gigantic fraud.
Al día siguiente.
And that it was nothing less than highway robbery.
Los diarios.
The next day.
Decían más o menos lo mismo.
The opposition newspapers were charging more or less the
no,
same
a pesar
thing.
De que estaba,
despite
el ministro
the
interior,
fact that the Minister of the Interior
el general Carlos Prat,
was General Carlos Prat,
que no se iba a prestar,
the Army Chief of Staff,
como no me iba a prestar yo,
who wasn't about to lend himself, as I wasn't, to any kind of fraud.
Por dos razones.
For two reasons.
Por convicciones.
Because of my own convictions.
Por honestidad política.
Because of political honesty.
Y además porque en Chile no se puede hacer.
And also because in Chile you can't get away with it.
No se puede hacer.
You just can't do such a thing.
Allá a las 48 horas.
48 hours later.
Había disminuido.
These charges had diminished.
Y puedo decirle a usted.
And I can say to you.
Que hace el 19 de mayo.
On the 19th day of May.
Salió el fallo del tribunal.
When the verdict of the Electoral College or
salieron elegidos
tribunal
todos
was
los
known,
que nosotros dijimos en la noche del
all the
4
candidates
de marzo,
that we put up, all the victories we had claimed,
todos,
everything
no, no
was,
hubo un
was
solo
a reality.
Y en cuanto
nothing
al
more
monto
was heard about electoral fraud.
Lo que sacó la Unidad Popular,
and
lo
the
que
vote
sacó
total that the popular unity
code,
predicted it would receive.
No hubo variación.
There was absolutely no deviation from our predictions, not even 0.0001%.
What would happen if the opposition would win in 1976?
Tomaría el gobierno.
They would take over the government.
Y el país viviría en un infierno.
And the country would live in hell.
Yo, ahí sí que creería en el infierno.
Then yes, I would believe in hell.
Terminamos.
Can there be an agreement?
No más.
Can there be
no more? Can there never more.
Thank you very much.
John, that sounds like a man very much in charge of things. Is this the way Salvador Allende is? Is he this kind of a forceful person?
Well, very definitely. He's a politician who's been in the wings of Chilean politics for the past 20 or 30 years, waiting for his turn to become president. Now that he's been president for the past 3 years, I'm not so sure he would do it all over again, because he's literally sitting on top of a volcano, caught between the extreme right and the extreme left, with demonstrations in support of him and opposed to him occurring almost every day. There have been major strikes. The strike at El Teniente is now well into its second month. I'm not so sure that he knew what he was bargaining for when he became president. But then again, he does feel very passionately. He's a very passionate man about socialism and about the need to bring better health care to the poor in Chile, to do something for the masses who have been ignored by previous Chilean governments.
So he sees his presidency as a mission, more or less.
Very definitely, very definitely. Of course, this is testing his true political genius, because he is literally every day, as he said himself during the interview, attacked by the right and left in the press, on television, in violent demonstrations, and he's constantly has to introduce legislation to change the educational system in Chile to provide for more socialist books. And there was a huge demonstration of the Confederation of High School Students, literally thousands upon thousands, protesting his avowed aim. Well, he got out on the balcony of La Monada, which is the government palace, and he very dramatically declared, okay, I rescind my bill to introduce socialist books into the school system. This is something that you could never imagine Richard Nixon doing, getting out on the balcony of the White House after he's introduced legislation to transform the educational system and saying that I take it all back. This is what is demanded of him as a politician, and it's demanded of him on a day-to-day basis.
Now, a year ago, you spoke with President Allende, and now you say you don't think he really would do it over again. What What differences have you seen in the man this year compared with the way he was last year when you spoke with him?
Well, this year he seemed to me much more seriously concerned about the possibility of civil war. Tensions have increased considerably over the past year. The economy has gone downhill. There have been more demonstrations. At one point in the interview with him, he said that only the future will tell whether I'm able to avoid a civil war. Those are the words of a man who really is concerned. Last year, when I talked to him about the possibility of civil war in Chile, he really joked about it, saying that it couldn't possibly happen because of the army being independent, being loyal to the Constitution, and being loyal to the Chilean presidency. My own guess is that it is very unlikely that there will be a civil war in Chile, but when I talked to Allende, he appeared tired, and he certainly appeared concerned that this could happen.
Mm-hmm. Is your analysis based on Allende's ability to hold off civil war or forces at work that would preclude it?
Well, it's the polarization, I think, that seems to be occurring in Chile, which is more than anything else. Of course, the major reason I don't think it will occur is the fact that there are no arms. There are no arms on either side. And only the extreme left wing, the MIR group, have weapons, and they're a relatively small consideration. Mm-hmm.
John, what are the broader implications of what's happening in Chile now, both for the United States and for the rest of Latin America?
Well, of course, the implications for the rest of Latin America are very profound. As you know, in Argentina, a new Peronist government took over recently, and that Peronist government has announced a policy which in many ways resembles what has happened in Chile, nationalization of some major foreign enterprises, the reorientation, the redirection of resources to try to provide better health care, better education for the poor. That already seems to have happened in Argentina. A left-wing military government is in control in Peru that has very excellent relations with Chile. So the ramifications for Latin America could be very profound. Of course, it all depends on whether Allende succeeds.
Mm-hmm. And for the United States?
Well, for the United States, in a broad sense, it's been a very healthy development because it's forced the United States to accept the possibility of socialism in the Western Hemisphere. And it's forced the United States to try to figure out new ways to deal on a realistic basis with this possibility, which is something going back to, as you know, to the Monroe Doctrine that we had never even contemplated. In fact, even in the OAS, charter of the OAS, there is language that says Marxist-Leninism is not consistent with the inter-American system. Well, that appears to be changing, and largely as a result of what Allende has done in Chile. Mm-hmm.
John, if you could, just in, say, one sentence or so, what importance does this particular interview signify?
I think it signifies a turning point in the sense that it marks a new conciliatory tone by Allende towards the United States. To some extent, this is because I think the 3 years of bitterness have done nothing but damage our relations. I think he is squeezed because of the bad economic situation, but he did say some things that are very important. He departed from his own strident denunciations on Watergate in this interview, choosing not to add more fuel to the fire, saying, why should I add more adjectives to Watergate when so many millions of words have been written? He said in a remarkable quote that Chile is not a socialist country, this is a capitalist country, and my government is not a socialist government. And the most important thing he said is that he wants to help avoid creating new anti-American reactions in Chile sparked by such things as ITT and the Watergate.
Thank you, John Wallach, diplomatic correspondent for the Hearst Papers. His interview with President Allende was recorded in Santiago.